going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we're here for another Know Your Foe episode today, looking at the draft of the Buffalo Bills, a key AFC rival of the Ravens. Joining us to do that is Drew Geyer of Rockpile Report. Drew, how are you doing?
Oh, we're good. We are good. It's actually a sunny day in Buffalo. It's a balmy 60 something degrees, and I felt like this would never get here.
Yeah, it's great weather here too. Similar in terms of what we have, we're really appreciating it. It's not that right temperature for very long. You know, another couple of weeks gonna be too damn hot.
right. And you guys get that humidity down there.
Oh yeah, it's bad. Yeah, it's quite bad. So the summer could be tough. Even going out to a ball game can be a difficult time.
In my early 20s, I made the mistake of, in the middle of late July, thinking that my friends and I could just casually walk the mall before lunch, and we all had to get back on the train, go all the way back out to Rockville and shower before we could come back downtown and do lunch because it was just too hot.
Yeah. I can understand that certainly. Let's talk about the Bills draft a little bit. A very impressive draft for Buffalo, going through it. 9 picks, starting off the first round with number 30. They took a cornerback a lot of Ravens fans had been looking at, Maxwell Hairston of Kentucky.
Maxwell Hairston's really interesting because of his profile. You know, cornerback was obviously on the docket with the way the Bills approached the offseason, really neglecting to spend the kind of money that the free agent market was commanding. So you kind of knew that somewhere in the top 3 rounds, they were probably going to target a cornerback. And depending on what went on in the draft and where the value was and what positions had seen a recent run on talent, there was a good chance that cornerback could be in play in terms of where they fell on their big board and where they kind of, you know, just saw the overall talent pool. What was really interesting, though, is that everybody here, every Bills fan everywhere, kind of pointed to Trey Amos as more of the, you know, watching what Rasul Douglas has done here over the last 2 seasons, kind of pointed to him and the physicality that he played with and said, that's probably a guy who would fit what the Bills are looking for at CB2. And so the way the draft board fell, Jahdae Barron is the only cornerback off the board. Malachi Starks goes off the board at safety right before the Bills pick. So they basically, outside of Barron, had their pick of the litter when it came to cornerbacks. And they ended up going with Hairston, which was, I think it felt out of left field for a lot of Bills fans because we thought, hey, they want someone longer, more physical, someone who plays run support really well. Because in the past, Sean McDermott has made it his, you could watch the way he made personnel choices and who got to play in what games, kind of based around tackling ability. So it felt like it came out of left field when you saw Max Hairston as the pick, knowing that some of these other guys were still on the board. But when you look at his well-rounded game and just how well, you know, top-end athleticism and just the fact that he acclimates to zone and we run so much of it, I think that really made the pick make more sense in retrospect.
Okay. Well, that I liked Hairston for his traits, for his speed. He's got good enough size, a little bit on the short end for a modern corner at 5'11", 192. But one of the things that got me is he does not really have great college coverage statistics. Now, he played in the SEC. It's a tough place, but 8.2 yards per target in college for his career. And, you know, young, you got to like that. It's fast, 4.28. You got to like that. But I would be a little bit concerned about that. And I'm just going to toss something up here. These are the percentile rankings you can see on the screen. Unfortunately, other folks watching listening on the podcast can't see these for Troy Amos just how good he was. And he was in, you know, top half of every single important background metric, yards per target, opposition passer rating, et cetera, and tackle rate and whatnot. But that's not the case of Hairston, who's had a little bit of a missed tackle problem the last 2 years to go with some spotty coverage.
I think you're being really kind. I think you're being really kind. It's one of those situations where I think the Bills genuinely believe that they can fix that aspect of his game. And I don't want to oversimplify this, but to me, the pick felt a little bit, I don't want to see a reaction to the Kyrie Elam situation. But I think what they saw with that project was they took a guy who they said, hey, he's a really good athlete. We think he tackles well. He plays physically. He's got size. We can teach him how to play zone coverage. And it never materialized here. I mean, embarrassingly so in that Kansas City game when we lose in the AFC Championship game. And Kyrie Elam puts on, I think, 10 of the ugliest reps I've seen at the pro level. Like, there was plays where he was nowhere near his man. But then sometimes he was actually crossing himself up and falling down. And it's like, that's day one stuff. You're in the pros for how many years? So I think this was more of a, you know, they felt maybe like a course correction. And they said, we're going to take a guy who understands zone coverage concepts really well, has elite athleticism. We can teach him how to be physical, or we can teach him how to step up and run support. You know, some of the things might get conflated a little bit. I think back to when Trey White was drafted. One of the knocks on him coming out of the draft was that he didn't play with a ton of physicality. He wasn't known to be a great tackler. And, you know, some of the prognosticators said that he was a player who might need to be worked into an NFL lineup instead of just getting starting reps. So I think it's proof that you can take a talent and kind of mold them. And as long as you like the fit and you think that that's a guy you can coach up, you can make hay with what Maxwell Hairston brings to the table. You can't teach a guy to run a 4.2. You can't teach a 4.3 speed. That's something that's innate. And it was actually a theme of this class because I know RAS score is a very simple way to look at athleticism and athletic testing. But this might be the most athletic class overall that the Bills have ever drafted all at one time. And I think Hairston kind of started that trend on day one.
All right, let's move on to day two. And their first pick of the day was TJ Sanders from South Carolina, right? The interior defensive lineman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, TJ Sanders. So a lot of Bills fans, there's a lot of moaning. And I know our GM made national headlines when he went on our radio station here locally and just kind of lit into the radio host a little bit and then doubled down on it on a team-produced special. I think a lot of people would have liked to have seen the Bills chase offensive talent here, but that wasn't the theme of this draft. This draft was, hey, let's stock up on defensive talent. And to be fair, the same people who you saw complaining about the fact that the Bills took day two and just continued to double and triple down on defensive picks, a lot of those were the same people angry tweeting, you know, the Sunday and the Monday following our loss to Kansas City about, once again, Sean McDermott defense doesn't show up in the playoffs. You know, not kidding, Ken. Last night, I was rewatching the Bills-Ravens playoff game. I was just watching it last night with a beer, and my friend and I were talking and just commiserating over the fact that we almost lost that game because the Ravens offense, we had no answer for it in the second half. If we didn't stake a big lead, we lose that game.
And get the couple of turnovers.
100%. It's a lot of luck got us into the AFC title game. So with that said, the team decided to pick TJ Sanders, which was a head scratcher because, again, you know, Bills fans thought defensive tackle, cornerback, DN. That's where we're going to take in the first three picks. They checked all the positional boxes. It's the names that gave everybody grief. Mm-hmm. TJ Sanders is another three tech. He's another smaller player. And when you look at our roster, we've already got a pile of them. And it was very confusing when you saw guys like, his name is escaping me, but the 49ers took him a few picks, Alfred Collins. And you saw some of the other more traditional one tech type tackles. Mm-hmm. You saw them get taken almost immediately after we traded up for Sanders. Good athlete. He can get washed out of plays sometimes. He's going to have to learn to play with better balance. But you like a lot of what you see if all you want him to do is be a gap-penetrating three-technique D-tackle.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, by the way. It's exactly my thoughts on Sanders, who probably has as polished a set of half-man moves that you will see from a three-tech coming out of college. I mean, he has it all.
I think that's the upside, right? When you look at a guy, when you say, and you also have to think about the Buffalo Bills, if you understand anything about their archetypes, one of the things, I use that word a lot, but one of the things that they lean on is this concept that they're going to stack three techs. And if you don't give them as an interior defensive lineman, some kind of pass rush, you're probably not going to see the field. You know, we go into a game against you guys where we know you've got Derrick Henry and he's a battering ram and we're going to have to be stout at the point of attack on the defensive line. And they've got a guy on the roster named Eli Anku, who they kept kicking off the roster, bringing back to the practice squad, kicking off the roster, bringing him back. He is a 300, and I want to say he's like 330. He's a big traditional one tech, and he never saw the field because they, even DaQuan Jones, for being what he is at his size, he was giving the Bills plus pass rush skills for a man his size and his skill set. And once that declined, he saw fewer snaps. Once he wasn't giving them pass rush and wasn't giving them, you know, quarterback pressures, he stopped seeing the field as much. I think that this is just their ethos of this is a pass heavy league. If you want to be good in the interior of the line, the way to do it is tackles for loss. And then also be able to be disruptive against a quarterback. And that's where TJ Sanders, I guess, makes sense. It's, again, just not a name you expected if you heard, hey, the Bills traded up and took a D tackle.
You know, I'll give you another way in which he makes sense, because Sanders, I'm considering for the Ravens, they have Madubuike as their starting three tech who eats up a ton of snaps. Mm-hmm. So it would have been tough to fit Sanders in your traditional way, meaning you pair him up with a nose tackle, you put him at three tech, and there's two separate pairings. And Travis Jones and Madubuike are devastating interior combination of pass rushers for the Ravens. Very, mm-hmm. very effective. But Sanders, the use that I thought of him was, you know, the Ravens lead a lot of games, and this is true of Buffalo also. Buffalo and Baltimore had two, I think, absolutely equivalent point differentials this last season. So they lead a lot of games late, and you're put in a position where you're in closeout mode. And I don't think it would hurt at all to have Sanders as a one tech in such situations where his only job is to penetrate. You're not worried about him holding off double teams. You just want to have someone who can get to the quarterback and not worry too much about allowing the quarterback to run, because that might even be helping you. But I could see that kind of a usage for him. And I do kind of understand why teams tend to go for the three techs anyway, because they're more valuable in the long run. Certainly are much higher contracts than nose tackles. Nose tackles are a size and shape pool, which are readily available.
Yep. And then I think that's it. If you were just looking at overall value, you're going to gamble on the upside of a guy who might give you plus pass rush rather than a guy who you have to teach that to.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to round three here, because we got to kind of pick up the pace just a little bit. Landon Jackson, the edge from Arkansas. People know him as Mr. Clean because a guy who's had some alopecia issues. I don't know what was the cause of this hair loss, but he's lost. Doesn't seem to have eyebrows or anything else.
He has alopecia, and it's Landon Jackson's a funny story because I fell in love with him in 2023 when he was playing for the Razorbacks and he was playing against my favorite Alabama Crimson Tide, and he was just a wrecking ball. They were moving them all over the defensive line. Alabama regularly puts offensive linemen into the top two rounds of the draft. And he was just giving these guys fits everywhere. He had moves. You could tell he had a pass rush plan, but also, I mean, he's not the most explosive player, but also he's just this big physical, imposing, you know, stereotypical 4-3 defensive end. You know, one of my favorite photos, there's a photo floating around on the internet in a game against Tennessee where he gets face masked on his way to the quarterback and the guard grabs him by the helmet and like face masks him. And it turns his helmet sideways on his head and his neck doesn't move and he never stops. He comes in, bears down on the quarterback and has a quarterback pressure and kind of, you know, the quarterback.
I think we may have lost you there, Drew.
Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you now. That's good.
Okay, sorry about that. So Landon Jackson is just this imposing physical kind of Terminator-esque character. You know, there's this rep against Tennessee where he gets face masked by a guard and it turns his helmet. Yeah,
I think we did get that. So I think we're good on that story. But I really appreciate it. That's definitely a guy who makes all kinds of sense in a 4-3. I had him a little bit lower down at ninth among edges because I wondered how he'd be able to play standing up. But, you know, one of the nice things about a player like that is you can kick him inside if you run a 3-4 scheme and you want to have a guy who is a third outside linebacker that you play on passing downs effectively.
Well, and I think that the beauty of him being the draft pick there is that you can kind of do what you did with Greg Rousseau, where you don't need him to be the pass rusher right away. Also, what he does for you is you've gone out and spent $12 million on a Joey Bosa, who you kind of have to keep in bubble wrap. You want to give him the Von Miller treatment, where he's getting 25% of your snaps. He's getting 25% of your snaps and a lot of pass rush situations, more so than rundowns. Mm-hmm. And so in that way, you've got a big physical guy who at least is a rookie you can trust on those early downs. You like what he brings mentally against the run game, his physicality, his length, wingspan, all of the physicality that he plays with is great for those things. Between him and Michael Hoyt and AJ Epenesa, you can now rotate guys and you just have this closeout specialist in Joey Bosa who now doesn't have to be pressed into service. Even if in the middle of a game there's an injury, you're going to be so deep in that role that you don't have to gamble with his health and safety long term.
Yeah, completely agree. I think that that makes a lot of sense as an addition there. And you know, some of it depends on how good Bosa was. The Ravens reacquired Pernell McPhee late in his career when his snaps would really decline to other teams, had a lot of injury problems and was having trouble staying on the field. The problem is, you know, he played like 15 or 20 snaps the previous couple of years per game. And he came to the Ravens and I said, okay, if they get 15 snaps per game out of Pernell McPhee as a situational pass rusher, that's going to be great. And he came into town and immediately he's the best run defender and pass rusher they have either in camp. And so it became a problem and he ended up paying a ton of snaps. And of course he got hurt 1 year. The next year he played pretty well again, but he got hurt. I think he might've made it through the next season, but anyway, you end up abusing that player more than you would like to. And I would wonder if Bosa is a weak enough run defender at this point in his career that they can truly make him just a situational pass rusher. Cause that often is the problem, is they're too good at the other thing.
Yeah. I feel like that. I'm hoping that's the plan because I would really hate to have the like, hey, we upgraded our pass rush and this was our move. And then you have him out there on first and second downs for the first 5 weeks. And all of a sudden he's got groin problems and now he's got a hip pointer. Cause it's, that's been the story of his career over the last few years. So I think it was a nice pick. And I also like, that's kind of, it kind of paved the way to, we said, hey, day three is going to roll around. Maybe now is when they go offense. And they started day three with highest upside and potentially lowest floor pick of their entire draft class.
Deion Walker of the nose tackle from Kentucky. So I'm waiting to hear that the moans have stopped now and people are excited about the Walker pick after the Sanders pick.
I was pleasantly surprised, right? Because again, this was a team that got beat up on defense all throughout the playoffs. Once again, you knew the trenches had to get deeper. And so they again took a player with a lot of upside and a lot of size and physicality. Deion Walker, though, is interesting just in terms of what they're going to have to do with him, because he's going to have to shed some weight. I think with his back issues and everything else, he's probably not going to play at the weight that he played at in college. And I think he's going to have to build up some lower body strength. Like, they're going to have to work on him. He's an unpolished stone in terms of what you want him to be, because he has the size that would make you say, hey, we're going to plug him in at one tech. But when you watch him play, it almost feels like he plays like a little bit more of a three tech. I mean, does that fit your kind of analysis of him?
Yeah, there's a little bit of penetration in there. I mean, I think he has a really good bull then shed pocket compression presence. I liked him a lot. I liked him in round four for the Ravens, and the Bills got him at the end of round four, which I thought was really good value.
Mm-hmm. No, and it's a value play. And I also think one of the dynamics that gets lost when people say, oh, you know, he fell because big men with back injury.
If you're looking for a better way to unwind, focus, or even get a good night's sleep, listen up. Let me tell you about Mood, the online cannabis company that's changing the game when it comes to functional gummies. They've crafted a whole line up of federally legal THC blends designed to help with everything from stress to sleep to mental clarity and even some spicier needs if you're into that. Now, what makes Mood different? They go beyond just THC. They pair it with herbs and adaptogens to create targeted effects that you won't find in any other dispensary. And every gummy is made with pesticide-free, small-farm American cannabis, so you're getting quality that you can trust. I've tried their sleep gummies, and let me tell you, takes about 15 minutes, and I'm out cold, no grogginess, no weird side effects, getting some of the best sleep I've gotten in my life when I take one of these gummies. And if you need a mood boost, there are Epic Euphoria gummies, game changers. And right now, Mood is giving listeners 20% off their first order by using the promo code RAVENS at checkout. So head on over to mood.com, find the perfect gummy for whatever life throws your way, and don't forget to use the promo code RAVENS to save 20%.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
They're scary to a lot of GMs, but this is a Buffalo Bills team who watched their now, you know, multi-year extension right tackle Spencer Brown have a really great rookie campaign and then kind of dog it the next year. And then, you know, after the season's over, you find out, oh, he was nursing a back injury all year. We as fans were pounding the table for, hey, bring in someone else, bring in someone to challenge him, because you can't just hand the guy this job. And they said, no. We've got a training plan for him. He doesn't need competition. He's going to be fine. And he's gone on to have a stellar career. I think that they, just in terms of a medical staff and personnel, being through a couple of these, like those types of experiences, are maybe better suited for a player like Walker, because they understand big men, tall guys with back injuries. This is what we got to do. You got to lose a little weight. We're going to give you some plyometric stuff, and we're going to give you some, you know, some PT specific to this. I think they believe
All right. I think we might have lost you again, Drew. Now we got you back. Yep. Okay. So let's move on.
Yeah, so the rest of the picks here, I mean, just not to bog this thing down, but Jordan Hancock might be a sleeper for one of the better picks in this class.
I absolutely love him. Yeah.
So if I could say this, and you can correct me if you think I'm wrong, one of the things I liked about him was not the most explosive athlete. He's not going to wow anybody on tape with highlight reel interceptions, all this crazy, you know, the stuff that gets you on TikTok or people get see on Twitter and go, oh, I want that guy. But you'd look at the box score after some of the Ohio State games and you'd go, wow, he had that many tackles. And then you start thinking back, you're like, oh no, he was just around. And you start to get this sense that he's just a good football player. He knows where to be, when to be. And he seems to get the cerebral part of being a physical football player down. And when you can get a guy like that at this point in a draft, you throw him in your cornerback room and you roll the dice the same way the Bills rolled the dice with Christian Benford. They said, hey, we see a guy who doesn't have elite physical tools, but he seems instinctive for the position. And who knows, maybe he comes in here and we catch lightning on this one. I mean, Jordan Hancock, just all around solid football player and really sound decision maker. Would you agree?
I really liked him a lot. I mean, for one thing, the how the season rolled forward for Ohio State, they have two very draftable safeties in Jordan Hancock and Lathan Ransom, who went, I believe, later in that draft. But mm-hmm. Ransom was the free safety to start the season. The Ravens really were looking for back end half field players, at least. I thought Hancock would have fit the bill very well for that. I like some other guys better as ball hawks. I like Billy Bowman, who got drafted maybe in that range, or Makuba, mm-hmm. Watts and Emmanuori, I like better. But for a guy in the mid to late rounds, I absolutely loved Jordan Hancock. Number seven safety overall, I thought he was a great pick. He took over that free safety role as the season went on. And I think that position is more about instincts than it is about speed. So I think he fits very well.
Yeah, we got flavors of that with Micah Hyde, where, I mean, he had some juice because he punt returner and slot DB for Green Bay, but he came here to Buffalo and became our free safety, and he makes this iconic interception in a Patriots wildcard game against, who is the kid? It's doesn't matter. He didn't last very long in New England, but he throws the ball, and he comes from the opposite hash to slide under this ball in the end zone and pick it off. And when he does, like, I was there watching it in person, there was no wasted motion. He wasn't tentative. He saw ball. He got ball. And I think that you see some of that with Hancock's just ability to recognize what's happening and react to it in real time that makes him such a great prospect to throw into a safety room. Jackson Hawes, I don't know, like, one of the reasons I love Patrick Ricard is because he plays old school throwback football. He's just big, ugly, nasty football. Jackson Hawes is that kind of player. Now, not nearly the size and the elite physicality for a size that Patrick Ricard has. He's one of one. But Jackson Hawes is a blocking tight end, maybe the best one. You know, I keep hearing everyone say probably the best one in the class. The Bills ran a lot of jumbo packages. You know, we got a guy named Alec Anderson, who's a backup interior offensive lineman, who played, I want to say he played like most games, you would turn it around and find out he played at least I would say half to two thirds of the team's snaps, depending on the opponent, because they love to roll out a big package and have an athletic blocker out there. Now, knowing that Alec Anderson might get kicked inside, he's kind of one of our primary interior backups. It would be nice to add a third tight end to the room who you're not going to lose that if you have to shuffle things. And I think Hawes could fit that bill early in his career. And then we see where it goes from there.
Yeah, so a typical 13 or 12 personnel tight end, a guy who will be in line most of the time, gives the Kincaid Knox the ability to flex on a lot of plays and start outside. Very similar to the Ravens situation with Andrews likely being more flex guys and Charlie Kohler being a guy.
Like
that. I just interesting point here that this is the sixth pick of the draft right now. Let's see. Three was Jackson. Mm-hmm. Four was Walker. Five was Hancock. Yeah. Sixth pick of the draft is first offensive pick for the Bills.
Yeah. They really, so all the fans who they call it the wide receiver train here, and they go, the local radio stations talk about it. The fans all tweet about it. And I felt like this draft was almost a direct insult to those people. Like the team was trolling them at this point.
Yeah, there's no, I don't think it's easy to communicate with people who are just wide receiver people all the time. They first of all, they want everybody, but then they kind of also reduce the credibility of their own argument by always wanting every washed up 30 or 31 year old wide receiver who was a name.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. I got some numbers on Dorian Strong. The next pick I'll put up on the screen while you're discussing this.
So Dorian Strong, I knew nothing about him going into the draft. And at this point in a lot of drafts, here's the thing. Like our podcast during draft season, I run it a little bit like Joe Rogan in that I'm smart enough to know that I'm an idiot when it comes to the draft. All of my takes are bad. I could be freezing cold take to death over the draft. So I just stopped and I let smart people come in and tell me what they think about these players. And this was one of those guys who afterwards everyone said, you know, you could do a lot worse than a guy who's got agility and he's got some things. He's a not huge, but he's a willing tackler. Not that he's the best at it, but he's a willing tackler. And you say, okay, this might make sense when you think about the fact that when they've started running more dime and they've been incorporating a guy by the name of Cam Lewis, who was a University of Buffalo product, and he was an undrafted free agent rookie to the team a handful of years ago, and they've never let him leave. He signs cheap extension after cheap extension, but his snaps have been steadily increasing the more they go to these dime packages. And I almost feel like there's going to come a day where, like a Dane Jackson or like a Levi Wallace, some team out there offers him more than the Bills are willing to pay him to just continue to be this extra DB in the room. And this might be an acknowledgement that, hey, we want to grab a guy with some athleticism and get him in here early and kind of head that problem off at the pass.
Yeah, that's an interesting comment there, because the Ravens certainly have had players like that. Anthony Levine fits the description of who you have. But the current CBA allows you to pay about $1.5 million. They give all the money to Ricard this year, so you can give it to one player or two players, not more than that. But that's money you can give to keep your local, and they're called qualified veteran contracts, I believe is the name for them. But anyway, you can pay them non-cap dollars in addition to the vet minimum. So it helps create a friction that keeps some of these popular long team players, and Cam Lewis be perfect for it because he's played more than four consecutive years for the Bills, which is a requirement. You have to play four consecutive years. The two guys who were real possibilities of it this year were Ricard and Tylan Wallace, and they re-signed them both. But Ricard got all the dollars, and Tylan Wallace got a contract that was more than the vet minimum. So got a good chance to keep him is what I'm telling you.
Yeah. Well, that makes me feel good because – I mean, what do you think about this DB? I mean, I just think it's kind of a flyer.
Yeah.
I really don't know how to feel about it other than that.
He's on my list. I mean, a guy who was a pretty darn good tackler in college. His coverage metrics were kind of average, other than opposition passer rating. That was towards the top. I wouldn't be too concerned in terms of where he ranks in terms of size and whatnot. I think that he's a guy who can probably help a team, and I would think you're probably in the right if you're saying he's more of an underneath guy that will help you there as opposed to being outside kind of guy ever.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then you look at the last two picks in our class, Lunt and the obligatory wide receiver. So everybody who was pounding the table for one, you can't get mad. They did what you asked. They drafted a wide receiver. Are you happy now? Lunt's interesting to me because he's just – so this is a team that I just mentioned the name Alec Anderson, undrafted free agent player that they bring in. He was just a big physical prospect, and they molded him into a guy who now plays a significant role on this football team. And I think is probably in line to be extended at the end of this year as an interior guard when David Edwards' contract expires. Having said that, we have a swing tackle by the name of Ryan Vandermark. Ryan Vandermark was an undrafted free agent player, and they just liked his physical skill set. They liked his athleticism. And they said, hey, this is a project. We don't need him right now because we have top tier guys playing tackle. We've got bookends, but let's keep kicking the tires and see what we can bring in. Well, you kind of go back to where Ryan Vandermark is now. A lot of people didn't realize until about halfway through the Kansas City Chiefs game, if you were at the stadium, that Spencer Brown had been made inactive. And Ryan Vandermark, this undrafted free agent player, is out there manning the right tackle.
Because he looks so similar, or what's the...
He just looked very similar. Big, physical, imposing guy who plays with a little bit of a mean streak. he played a lot like Spencer Brown, and he was nowhere near any sort of liability. Like, he really gave them what they were looking for. I feel like this is another nod to the idea of, hey, we can't keep paying backup offensive linemen. So we're going to have to continue to churn. But I think they've gotten it down to, I don't want to say a science, because nobody has anything down to a science in the NFL from a GM draft development perspective. But you can say that they understand certain physical skill sets and certain levels of athleticism that they like at positions, and that they've been able to be successful with in the past in terms of development. And so I think Lunt is just another nod towards, hey, might not have the best career tape, may not have some of the best metrics if you're trying to score him against everybody else, but we like what we see, and we think that in a year or two, he could be the swing tackle and it wouldn't cost us anything.
All right. Well, I mean, I'm always in favor of getting developmental offensive tackles, and the Ravens went very heavy on that this year, both in the draft pick of Carson Vinson, who was early. He's very much a Spencer Brown kind of project of it might take him, and Spencer Brown didn't take him that long to get on the field, which was really remarkable. But Carson Vinson, I think it might take him 2 years to get on the field. He's not at all physically ready to play in the NFL from a strength perspective. But Chase Lunt, he's got the frame you like at 6'7", 304, though, which is very light.
Yes.
But he also has some length issues as well for a tackle that I wouldn't be crazy about at 32 5/8". Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to have to eat a lot. They're going to have to get him in the weight room. And honestly, that's the kind of thing, though, that you also see with, there's a player we drafted last year, Cedric Van Pring Granger, center prospect, who I think fans genuinely believed was going to come in being this, you know, touted as the second best or third best center prospect in his class. Fans thought that, hey, this guy's going to come in, he's a no-brainer, he's got SEC pedigree, he's going to be turnkey at center for us, and we can leave Connor McGovern at left guard. And instead they slid Connor McGovern from left guard to center, which luckily it worked out for us and he made the Pro Bowl this year, but there was concerns. And then you look at Van Pring Granger and you start to realize, okay, he was kind of short for a center and he did have some length issues and he probably needed some development in the strength room. Lunt's very much that same type of player where he's a tackle in name. Maybe this is just a thing of, we like the player, we like where his head's at. We may have to kick him inside to guard at some point if we want to keep him and like have him contribute, but let's get him in the building and find out. Because he's a lump of clay, we think we can shape into something.
All right. All right, let's go. The final pick, stolen out right from under the Ravens' noses, because a lot of people love this guy because he went to Maryland, of course, is Caden Prather, the wide receiver.
Okay. Caden Prather, I will say what I know is this. When I see a wide receiver taken late, I hearken back to the Justin Shorter pick of a few years ago, who was a name that everybody was enamored with. Oh my God, he was so good a few years ago and he's going to be great. And he's a sleeper and he slept all right. He slept and slept and slept and nobody ever saw him. He never saw the field. And I was at a training camp practice and just seeing the way Shorter would come out early before everyone else and work the jugs machine. I was like, well, that's weird. So we start texting a group of guys who are always at camp taking notes over there, the guys over at Cover One who do excellent work. And they said, no, every practice, Shorter's on the jugs machine for like a half hour. And I have a feeling that's why he's never seen the field for the Bills and probably will be off the roster. Just the physicality, size, everything just can't catch. And that's probably 80% of the job, right? Prather has a tough go to make the final roster. He's an interesting prospect that you can bring into camp and you can kind of have him around. What is it that Ravens fans liked about him?
Size. The Ravens have a long history of going for the receivers that are 6'1", 6'2", and up, over 200 pounds. And he fits that bill. He's about 6'3", 204 roughly.
Yeah.
Obviously had a big career at Maryland. So he's well known here. And Ty Felton and he were both guys that, you know, a lot of Ravens fans hoped the Ravens would at least get one of them, kind of thing. And they got neither. And that's the way it sometimes works out.
Yeah. And with that size, if you look at what the Bills have built schematically on offense, they transitioned to more of a power slot game last year where they had very large, you know, Mac Hollins in the slot. They would sometimes move Keon Coleman inside the slot. They have a big tight end in Dawson Knox, who they can flex out. They do a lot of things to help augment the running game because that was kind of the bread and butter of the Bills offense. You know, Josh Allen wins the MVP, but a lot of the games we won and then salted away because we could run the ball really effectively. Mm-hmm. And that came because they kind of said, okay, we're going to have a couple smaller, you've got Curtis Samuel as a gadget guy. You've got Khalil Shakir as this kind of mid-level separation, run after the catch generation kind of a player. And then you just brought in these wide receivers who could really be impactful in the running game. Caden Prather, if he's going to make the roster, probably has to show up in those moments throughout camp. He really has to show off that he's got physicality and that he can contribute in those ways. If he can do that, I don't know. I think he's got as good a shot of anybody else who, made the roster last year and never saw the field.
All right. All right. Outstanding, Drew. Always great talking football with you. Tell folks where they can find your stuff online or talk to you if they have a question about the Buffalo Bills.
We're over at Rockpile Report on Twitter. We do two shows a week. One's live every week on YouTube. We take a lot of listener questions. A lot of our conversation, we try to entertain as much as inform, maybe sometimes more so than inform, but everybody shows up. We have a couple beers or 10.
They're not kidding. I mean, there's an enormous amount of beer in front of them, and the pace at which these guys go through them is something. And I would never have guessed that Drew worked in finance from the amount of beer he drank. I mean,
it's stunning to my coworkers too. So with that said, we do a weekly show. It's a lot of fun. Come check it out if you want to, or if you just want to know what's going on the other side of the fence here in the AFC.
All right. Outstanding. Other folks out there, it's film study short season. We've got lots of time over the next month or so to record such episodes. Whatever you're passionate about, let's talk about it. Got one other feeler to put out there. I'm looking for someone to help me with a project. If you know the NFL FastStar database well, or even just a little bit, and can help me with a small project. I don't think it's a big effort, but please hit me up with a DM on Twitter. Drew, thanks a lot for joining me.
Appreciate the invite.
We'll talk to you next time on Film Study. Okay, hang on for a second while these local recordings download. I'll make sure they're the ones that get used.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.